Now on BBC Radio 4, a news quiz tribute to Alan Corran.
On our panel tonight, we have Mr. Alan Corran.
And the gallant Captain Alan Corran.
On my left, Alan Corran.
And on my left, Alan Corran. Alan being introduced by various news quiz hosts, most of whom were called Barry, and one of whom couldn't pronounce his name. For 30 years, Alan has been the heart of the news quiz. Jeremy Hardy, Andy Hamilton and I sat down to try and pick out half an hour of some of his best material. Well, it was an impossible feat. I am as likely to take over a German ball bearings factory. We could have had half an hour from the last year alone. From his first answer back in 1977, you knew you're in the hands of a master.
Who has a car with the number ADO88, and why isn't it going anywhere? Alan Corran.
I think it's the first number of the new Mini, which isn't going to come off the Leyland assembly line.
Oh, a big hand, please, for Mr. Alan Corran. Very good. You've been reading the papers. Haven't you anything better to do?
I've been ordering minis. I'm told there's only a 14-year waiting list for a Cortina. I shall go for that instead.
There's a difference, isn't there, between the sort of stuff that Alan did, which comes to me under the title of wit, as opposed to the sort of jokes of stand-up. It was in a different league somehow.
But he could do both, which was really interesting, because when I first did the show, it was quite dry, apart from Alan. The panellists tended to be journalists, and to be honest, often the show was sort of slightly self-consciously witty, in inverted commas, but not that funny. But the only section that you knew would be funny and that would be guaranteed to make the audience laugh was Alan. And he could do both, couldn't he? He could turn a phrase, but then he could also find just a brilliant gag from nowhere.
And it was the turn of phrase. It was his ability to use the English language in a way that I'd never heard anybody else use that was so astonishing.
Alan, why was the primeval seabed covered by intelligent quilts?
It was highly intelligent sponges. 600 million years ago, we were trying to work out things like two club openings in Britain, you know, taking over the world very quietly, and human beings evolved alongside them an atom. Otherwise, these sponges would be doing the news quiz.
They are tonight.
It's a funny thing, science, isn't it, when you look at it?
How long ago was all this happening?
600 million years. Have you listened to the repeat? 600 million years in a day.
They weren't coexisting with us 600 million years ago.
Well, they weren't coexisting, but they've got on fairly well.
My father telling me they never gave the shears back. And this is the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Force, who recorded his conversations with Lord Goldsmith, which upset Lord Goldsmith no end. And Blair has apologised. I just like using those words, Blair has apologised. Unfortunately, it was the other Blair. Have you seen the pips on his shoulder? It really looks like an entire silver tea service. He's only a copper, but they come on decked out like a nine-star general with all this stuff going down their arm. Probably all tape recorders, but
Jeremy, where did a little tyke have a brush with disaster?
I think my friend knows.
I'm your friend.
It's a Yorkshire Terrier that got sucked up by a street sweeper, then space serves the people right behind me. Something was like a dish rag, anyway. I hate those dogs, they're horrible. He was there in the gutter, looking like a sort of hirsute turd, and this thing came out. An etic. Then it talked for a bit and said, I don't fancy this, and spat it back. I think it's all right now, dog lovers.
The guest is refers to Have a Go hero O.J. Simpson. who, as of tonight, has pledged himself to finding the man who killed his wife and her friend, Mr. Goldman. This will be a lifetime's search for him, and enormously difficult, involving waking up every morning, looking in the shaving mirror and thinking, that bloke's got funny eyes.
Personal bag.
You know a hell of a lot about Sainsbury's.
I never been in Sainsbury's. The only thing I can think about Sainsbury's, they keep the riffraff out of Waitrose.
I realise how totally unqualified I am to think about war. I don't know what MySpace and YouTube are. In my generation, they gave me a cheese sandwich and tin hat. and you walk towards anybody who put a verb at the end of the sentence. It's the thing that's overtaken Prozac. It'll overtake anything. Especially if you're one of the lucky men who takes Viagra. Viagra falls, or in this case, rises. it's a numerical drug.
Alan's cheating, I'd have to admit, even though he's my team captain, because he's got a packet of it here. Why have you got some?
I've smoked three of them. You have to swallow them, do you? Hold the desk down while I try.
How quickly does it work?
That's a stiff question. I've no idea.
It takes an hour. Well, how long does it take to wear off? Not that we're interested in all these questions. Do you understand?
Change the face of tailoring as we know.
Which way do you dress your waistcoat, sir?
We have the scores. Get it out of this.
And we arrived breathless, very late, before we were about to start, and maybe we'd have time for half a glass of wine. And then, of course, fly out the door, even during retakes, even before we'd officially finished recording.
I've got some lamb shanks waiting for me.
Yes, well, there's a duck in the oven. I must go before the children grow up.
Yeah. Don't want to miss Howard's way.
And he'd be drumming his fingers on the desk. He was actually breathlessly keen to get the thing over with, and never really quite understood that. I mean, apart from the fact that he was so devoted to Anne and that she would quite possibly have been working quite long hours in the hospital and he wanted to go home and have dinner with her. But
maybe we were just very boring.
I think he just didn't like us very much.
Yeah, I sort of blame the BBC, really. I mean, 30 years ago, they came up with this idea of convening five socially disparate ignoramuses in a basement without any windows to have a go at one another. And this is where we still are. The trouble is, because they didn't bring in voting, I'm still here and can't get up.
I saw him as a performer for the first time in a live election show in 1979, which sort of included all the talents who were on Radio 4 at the time, including a little panel. And Alan was by far the funniest thing of the evening, and he was talking about Mrs. Thatcher and how they were trying to mould her in a sort of Churchillian image. And I remember him saying that he didn't know why they didn't go the whole hog and just shave her head and stick a cigar in her gob. And I remember thinking, oh, this guy's really good value on stage, you know.
And did you get a sense ever of actually what his politics were? Because one would have thought conservative, but to me, and I spent hours and hours and hours with him on my own, chatting, so most liberal human being you ever met in your life, so actually impossible to peg him completely.
No, I think he liked to pose as the Tory on the programme because nobody else was prepared to be a Tory.
Yeah, and it's filled with lefty liberal comedians, isn't it?
Yeah.
After sort of 1990.
I suspect he possibly was in some ways a conservative.
Alan, who was accused of giving short shrift?
Is this the volcano question?
It is.
And we got a hammer, Claire Short, who is really rather a wonderful person. Short Fuse, she calls herself, but she's greatly self-perceptive. We like Claire Short, do we not, Roy? No, we don't. Well, one of us here...
It is tragic that after 33 years in the House of Commons, my most successful broadcast should be a moment of silence.
Anyway, there are a few hundred people who like her even less than Lord Hattersley does, and these are the Montserratians. Anyway, their island has blown up. And Claire Short has been immensely sympathetic and said you can all have a toffee apple and a pat on the bum. And I wash my hands of it. But what has happened is that Robin Cook has washed his hands of Claire Short, or the Blair administration, such as it is.
She has not been snubbed. She said it herself. She has not been snubbed.
Why does she look that way, then? I don't... Time was on this programme. I got all the animal questions. Now I get all the John Major questions, because... All the John Major questions are animal questions. This is the same as a goldfish one. A couple of weeks ago, there was John Major putting KY jelly on a goldfish for some reason. And his cat heard about this. And the cat said, I'm not staying with people like this. And it threw a few things into a suitcase and cleared off.
Then, according to the Times, which is my newspaper and a newspaper of record, the cat died. The next day, the Times was proved to have been slightly premature, because the cat wasn't dead at all. It had turned up at somebody else's place with its suitcase, hung its hat up, and tucked in. And the fact is that the Major's food is not very good. There's something wrong with this cat's kidney. It's called Humphrey. And its kidneys are a bit dodgy, so they put it on a low-protein diet, rather than the Helmut Kohl diet. Cat heard about Helmut Kohl and probably turned up at the German embassy. And I'd like one of those knackwurst, please, with a genetically engineered tomato on the side. Because they won't let me eat the goldfish, because he's covered them in Vaseline. And the people seeing the picture of this cat in the Times, it looks like 4 million cats. I do not believe it's the same cat, but it's a black and white cat. And they've given it back to Major, you'll believe anything. And they, having collared the goldfish guppy vote a couple of weeks ago, he's now got the cat vote. General election day, there'll be a lot of goldfish and cats queuing up at that booth. The only people he's got.
He was prepared to be rude about anybody, wasn't he? So I think it was that sort of a pox on all your houses. No, being politically.
But kind too. I mean, his friendship with Geoffrey Archer, he maintained. He made jokes about him, but he maintained his friendship.
Yeah, they were honest jokes, weren't they, about Archer's personality. But like you say, he still went to visit him in prison and he did stick by people.
Alan, which litigious, lying, cheating, perjuring ex-peer? is unlikely to sue, whatever you say.
There's no way to treat a stalwart of the News Quiz, Simon. I think you're referring to prisoner FF8282, also known as Lord Arthur of Weston-super-Mare. But he isn't in Weston-super-Mare at the moment. He is in HMP North Sea Camp. They always make it sound like ships, don't they? Imagine prison North Sea Camp. He is in Chokey. Radio 4 listeners may not know this man. Maybe beyond them, he's a major British novelist. He spent a life committed to fiction, which is why they've committed him to North Sea Camp. The very sad thing about it, from my point of view, is that for a year he's been away from the News Quiz. I mean, he's our great raw material. What is he actually doing? As you probably know, he's a medical orderly.
He probably tells people he's a real doctor.
Oh, he really is. No, he's probably a consultant by now. They let him do everything except keyhole surgery up there. And cricket umpire in his spare time. Yes, you can trust me, I'm an umpire. But that's who it is. And he came a... He came a that is one of his mistresses screaming. She is sneezing at the memory of the brevity of her last association.
Alan, who's been fighting for their right, left and mainly centre to lead the party?
It's about the Liberals. I don't do answers about Liberals.
I don't know. There aren't many Liberals left. I mean, the entire Liberal Party is, even as I speak, crossing Clapham Common instead of something to do instead of leading the Liberal Party. I mean, I don't think they take politics terribly seriously. They're either drunks or profligate in every possible way. It's a long time. I remember Joe Grimmon. He was the last one who was any good. Joe Grimmon wore a three-piece suit, had grey hair, and looked after his wife. But they're currently engaged with this person called Ming. I don't know, the Ming dynasty, the 14,000-year-old Scotsman who is standing he wants to lead these three people to the promised land. And he's got a reconstructed bloke, Simon Hughes, who I thought analysed the cricket wonderfully on Channel 4. I don't know why he ever changed jobs. And there's a one called Hen. Or if you're German, it will be Hen. How will the Germans ever take him seriously?
Isn't he a fake one, though? Like,
a fake one, like
in Big Brother. They thought, we'll throw a fake one and see if they spot him.
And there isn't anything else. There's a man called Lambert Oatpick, the shadow spokesman for Scrabble, probably. But he's married to that
weather woman with a rubber mouth. I've forgotten her name, but she's Welsh. They're very... It's just a very strange galère of people. I mean, I might even vote for them out of facetiousness. I mean, it's the only reason to do it.
And also that extraordinary ability to really sail quite close to the wind with people and somehow never manage to offend. Mm. I honestly don't believe that however many goes he had at the Germans or the French or whatever, that anybody would ever have written in and said, how could you be so xenophobic? Because it didn't feel like it. It didn't feel like it at all. It just felt like Alan's comment, and that was fine, and we were all allowed to laugh at it and move on.
The question is, what French test failed to impress? That's a difficult one,
yes.
Isn't it?
This is Jacques Chirac's remake of South Pacific. Thank you. Actually, if you remember South Pacific, there was a big fat frog in it, wasn't he? He was a bloke who sang a summon, chanted the evening. Blow up a stranger. Anyway, that's what they've been doing. And even as we speak, Tahiti is being unseamed and taken to pieces by the Tahitians who want independence from France. But France has just developed a bomb to stop them having it. They're funny people. Yeah. Think Cook.
Well, it was all about Runcie sort of not ever asking the question.
Don't ask the question.
And you've got to know how to do that. Cause I don't like dropping names, but a year or so ago, at the height of the Richard Gere hamster crisis, I met Michael Caine at a party. And Caine lives about three houses from Richard Gere and then Cindy Crawford in Bel Air. And I'm not an intrusive man, and I've nothing else to talk to him about. I said, Michael, is Richard Gere gay? And he said, put it this way, he'd help out if they were short-handed. And I thought... that's the way you've got to ask questions if you're the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Alan, which typhoon failed to go down a storm?
Oh, I love this. In the dark days of the last lot, when we were facing Johnny Bosch, there was an aeroplane called the Typhoon. But since then, we've all linked up, and we're buddies, and we've built this thing called the Eurofighter, which we wanted to call the Typhoon, and the Germans didn't like it, because they're not as nostalgic about the... about the great days. And as a result, the Eurofighter is going to be called the Eurofighter in Italy, Germany and Spain, countries I still think of as the Axis. And anywhere else where decent people are, it's going to be called the Typhoon. Very pleased about that. Hope we get a crack at them again. I'd have called it the Spitfire and to hell with it.
I was told to be very careful not to annoy him when I first did the news quiz. I was told the main thing is never interrupt Alan, because he could get quite grumpy. But another reason not to interrupt him was that those stories were always going to go somewhere. When he took a subject, he wanted to take flight, and he wanted it to unfold, and I was never sure whether he'd really worked any of this out or whether it really was just winging it.
I think most of it just came off the top of his head, because I remember once upon my bluff doing a word that I claimed was to do with the invention of the windmill. And it was Alan's turn to guess, and he said, "That's nonsense, Toxley. Everyone knows the windmill was invented for the sole purpose of filling up the blank bits in the back of 16th century Flemish paintings."
Well, he spoke in prose. I remember I'd hear him talking, I think, where are all the ums and ahs that the rest of us do? Well, we're thinking he did speak in a kind of accessible prose, didn't he? But full of references and sort of quite erudite one moment and then quite sort of vulgar the next. You know, he had such a wide game, didn't he?
Alan, what is no longer hair today, gone tomorrow?
It's terrifying knowing that you always get a question on the news quiz that you can answer, because the audience is shielding its eyes from your head. They have, I think of them as they, it's Dr. Savannah in the basement with a condenser and a mouse. They got a bald mouse. They clunk-fisted it, and as a result of this, the genes that they'd shoved in from a goldfish or whatever it was, and the mouse cropped a fine head of hair, mullet, ringlets, to go with the ear on its back. It doesn't even have any therapeutic side effect either. I mean, there's no reason for doing this except to see whether you can do it. It's like saying we could have webbed feet. In fact, I'd rather have webbed feet than hair. I'd rather enjoy that if they could do that. They introduce a Canadian Brent Goose gene into my body, and I could get across the Serpentine in 4 minutes flat. I wouldn't mind being bald as a coot. I'd be faster than a coot as well. That's more.
Alan, why won't everything be coming up roses for British gardeners this summer?
Yes, this is the hosepipe man. I think I really have lost the will to live. I mean, I go, I go out in my garden every morning. It's a very small garden. We've got about 3 snowdrops leaning sideways against the wall that have been coming out since October. They can't quite make it. They can't quite reach that necessary tumescence to produce a white flower at the end of it. And they're shriveling on the bud. And we've got about 9 ants who are walking around thinking, is it spring yet? Is it time to eat his one crocus? And the rest is left to the cat, really. But I gather people with real gardens in England are going to be hard up because, thanks to the planning of the Thames Water Authority, 98% of all the water that comes into London goes through a pipe with a hole in the side. My water rates are £947 a half year, I think it is, something like that. And we don't even have anything. My wife and I have a couple of cups of tea and we've got these crocuses. And the rest is paying for this stuff to go down the drain. And occasionally men come up and they erect a tent opposite our house and have a fry-up. And they disappear into this tent for days on end and they come out. And I go out, because there's water lying in the gutter. And I go out and say, and they say, you get a lot of that. He said, but by March you'll have frogs in there. I said, well, why not? Because that's where they spawn. Frogs of Camden Town look to the Thames Water Authority for the water it leaves lying around, because that's where they leave their frog spawn.
Beats going to therapy, though, doesn't it?
We'd like to thank Alan for being very open. Anyone else would like to share?
Don't start me on gas. The gas has gone up.
What was extraordinary is as well, is particularly when I sort of took over his chair and you're always looking to see who's got something to say, he never was one of the ones champing at the bit or putting a hand up, but please it's me next, or trying to butt in. You actually sometimes had to say, I suppose you must have learnt ballroom dancing.
Mm.
And then there'd be quite a long pause and he'd finally drag out him one of the best stories you ever heard in your life. But it wasn't as though he was busting a gut to tell it.
You must have had ballroom dancing when you were a boy, Alan. You must have had to...
You don't want to go there. I was taught to dance by a man called Sergeant Ronga, who was sergeant in the parachute... No, I swear to God, on my children's life. He was in the parachute regiment, and when he was demobbed, there wasn't much to do, but he was tremendously light on his feet. I mean, he'd been in Arnhem and all that, but there was no call for Germans to have their necks broken anymore. And Ronga then became an instructor at the Woodpecker Pub in Turnpike Lane. And upstairs in the Woodpecker Pub, story, Humphrey Littleton and Monty Sunshine and Wally Fawkes, the great trog cartoonist, used to practice with their rehearsal rooms. And we danced downstairs, Ronga and I, to... an HMV gramophone with Victor Sylvester on it. And when I got my bronze medal in the junior ballroom dancing, my feet didn't touch the ground because he held me and it was like Donald O'Connor dancing with a mop. And I can feel now holding on to his biceps. They were like shot put biceps. And when the man from the British Federation of Dance turned up, it was just the two of us, just Ronga and me. And he'd been at Aramont and all these places, and I was there in my maroon blazer and shorts. And this man in a raincoat, rather like Eeyore Wisty, turned up to judge us. And he brought his own records, and these were the days when the 78s were in paper covers. And he said, I've got these, they're Joe Loss. And Ronga said, we danced to Victor Sylvester. And a bloke from the Institute said, I'm afraid today we're going to dance to Joe Loss. And Ronga said, no, we're not. And I stood by in this sort of dancing dispute, and I swear he broke this Joe Loss record. And he put on Victor Sylvester, and I got the medal. But Humph was playing upstairs. I think it was during the tango. Humphrey was playing Bad Penny Blues, and it was very noisy. Cornet's enormously noisy. Very thin wooden floors in this pub. And Ronga said, I want you to go upstairs and tell him to shut up, because I can't hear Victor. So I went upstairs, and it's amazing, because we became friends much later, and said to Humphrey Littleton, would you mind keeping a piss off? So I went downstairs, and Ronga went upstairs, and it was silent. He came down, and I said, what did he do? He said, I gave him a look. Anyway, that's how I learned to dance.
So what do you reckon goes his cuttings? You reckon he made them up? It was always subject for discussion.
Some of those newspapers I'm not convinced existed.
The Mr. Bugle or
yeah, it, and he would always cut it out. He'd type it and then cut it out to size, leaving no room. After the full stop, that was it, he'd cut.
Yes, he sometimes did them from the Times or the Telegraph. And so we know that they were
that they were real.
The regional ones, you suspect. I never saw him go to the file, because listeners may think that we just read all of the newspapers and learn them
in
all
the
up
world.
By heart. But there is a file of cuttings that people send in. And they usually say, "Dear Mr. Corrin," but we have to do them anyway, because he's not going to do them.
They come out of his wallet.
Yes.
I was always teasing him. More than any money's ever done.
Alan Corrin.
I have one from the Sheffield Morning Telegraph. It says, "On the first visit," said Mr. Hodgkinson, "they found the family pet, a ginger cat, sitting on a work surface among uncooked fish and meat pies. When Mrs. Allen was told it constituted an offence under the food hygiene regulations, she threw the cat out of the window." Would you like one from the Luton Evening Post?
Oh, please, please.
Because it beggars everything, including description. "Great Dane enthusiasts are worried about the image of the breed. One said, 'It would be tragic if Great Danes became associated with pornography in the mind of the public.'"
Well, having done this nonsense right from the beginning, Simon, I've sort of accumulated more than anybody, and I can't really... I was always a lousy editor. I can't choose them. I'll give you a couple. This goes back to 1980. It's from the Toronto Globe and Mail, and it reads, "Edwina McKenzie, now 91... credits her long life to having decided 68 years ago to get off the Titanic." Quite like this one from 1996 in the Pretoria Chronicle. "Corporate facilities are to be extended at Transvaal Cricket Club because now that more and more wives and girlfriends attend matches, members have complained that their boxes often become uncomfortably full." The Butts Free Press. "My children have grown up and left home. My husband is out all day and I'm looking round for a rewarding outlet for my energies. Do you think it would be a good idea to start breeding with my Labrador?"
Alan.
Sandy, this is from the Sheffield Star and says, "Singles, if you reach the point when you think your social life is as boring as it gets, come along to Eccles Hall 18 to 30 Club and let us prove you wrong."
He said to me, he said, "Now promise me, Toxic, promise me, I don't want one of those bloody memorials." I said, "Oh, bugger off, Alan, it's not for you, it's for us."
Yeah, bugger off, Alan.
Do you think Alan would now be interrupting us?
I think he's... I've got a duck in the oven, can we quite finish now?
Yeah.
Time to get it.
What sort of music do they think our boy should have had? Meatloaf?
Lily Marlene. It's a strange thing that Lily Marlene was the most successful song. They heard Lily Marlene and went out and wanted to kill Germans. They were inspired to do it. A wonderful thought, isn't it?
Mind you, it is a dreadful song.
No, it's wonderful.
And it's a German song.
I'll sing it if you like.
Go on, then.
Go on.
In German.
"Vor der Laterne durch den stillen Mund steht sich wie in Träume dein geliebter Mund. Dort wird die Welt das Ende sehen. Wer wird bei der Laterne stehen als du, Lily Marlene, als du."
Don't you write.